Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Coming up at 8 o'clock is the Game Show Wednesday. You'll have a chance to win some fantastic prizes, including a Wendy's $50 gift card and more. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. But right now on the BetQL guest hotline, we say good morning to Mike McCarthy, senior reporter at Front Office Sports. What's up, Mike? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Thank you, sir. So big news in the NBA media rights landscape. It looked like Amazon Prime was ready to snatch the package away from Warner and TNT. And then Warner and TNT matched the deal. What's the latest or some legal wrangling going on going forward? Where is this deal going to wind up landing going forward?
Well, sorry, Jeff Bezos, not so fast. You can't get your hands on the NBA quite yet. Warner Brothers Discovery's David Zaslav had 5 days to match third-party offers, and on the fifth and final day, he matched Jeff Bezos and Amazon's Prime offer. So now this puts the ball squarely back into the NBA's court. I mean, what you have here, guys, is after a month-long billion-dollar negotiation, we're going to overtime. It's a tie ball game. So now the NBA has to look over this counteroffer, this match from TNT and WBD, and decide if they want to just keep that business with TNT or go back to TNT and say, well, this isn't really a match. We still want to do Prime's offer, in which case TNT might have no recourse but to either threaten to sue or to sue.
So how what's the time frame on it then?
Time frame on hearing is probably the NBA will give them an answer this week. After that, you know, and after that, we're talking weeks, months. Everything on this thing has taken three times as long as everybody thought it would. You know, the joke around the business up here in New York is, you know, we've been hearing for 2 months that this is going to be done in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it never gets done. So, I mean, if it goes to the court, you know, we could be looking at months, even years.
So does this mean, let's just say that somehow they do wrangle, they're able to keep the rights. This is TNT. Does this mean that Charles stays?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, Charles and company are on for one more year.
Right.
Right. The current deals extend through the coming season.
Right.
But if TNT keeps the business, I think Charles will stay on because he loves inside the NBA. He loves the team that produces the show in Atlanta.
Right.
And I think when he did this retirement talk recently, I think that was Charles loyally going to bat for his employees and basically, you know, trying to tell the league, you know, if TNT doesn't remain in business, I'm out.
Right. Right.
Mike, the current deal with the TNT and ESPN's 9 years, $24 billion. What kind of number is the NBA looking at for the next one?
They're looking to roughly triple it, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
Which is amazing. We're talking about $76 billion over 11 years cumulative from three rights partners. Now, keep in mind, the NBA's ratings are flat. The economy's teetering. And rights fees are under a lot of pressure. So I really think that once this is all over, the owner should build a statue to Adam Silver.
Yeah, oh, I'd agree.
Yeah. Mike, the real winners are the players. I mean, you look at some of the deals that have been signed or agreed to recently, like Cade Cunningham and Evan Mobley. Okay, those are they're good players. They agreed to 5-year, $224 million deals. Like, what are the real superstars going to be raking in once these new rights fees kick in, the salary cap escalates even higher? I mean, guys are going to be making like $100 million per season, right?
It's going to be astronomical. We recently had Josh Hart of the Knicks on our podcast, And he was talking about the media rights deal. Because as you know, these players are all very smart business guys. And they're watching the numbers just like we are. And he said, if we sign this deal, I was going to retire when I was 30. But if we sign this deal, I'm going to play till my knees fall off.
Yeah.
He'll be making, you know, as much money as a small country.
I mean, think about Wemby for the Spurs. I mean, what's he going to make when he's a free agent? It's going to be a stupid deal.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons you're seeing this is because there's so few beachfront properties in sports. You know, you got a couple of leagues that move the needle in a big way, and almost all of them are locked up. The NFL did their 10-year deals. MLB is locked up. NHL is locked up. MLS is locked up. So really, if you were a streamer like Amazon or you were a broadcaster like NBC looking to return to the NBA business, you had to go all in on this deal.
I want to shift gears here for a second, if you don't mind, and talk about Skip Bayless. I never was a Skip Bayless guy, but his popularity was enormous. He seemed to be able to make the transition, and then I guess the bottom just falls out when Shannon Sharpe leaves. Is that what sort of happened? Like, I kind of thought that Skip had the personality to sort of single-handedly command an audience, but I guess that's not true.
I think Fox made a couple of miscalculations, and Skip made a couple of miscalculations. The show with Shannon and Skip had been on for 6 years. Now, when the show started in 2016, Skip was clearly the star, mm-hmm. and Shannon was out of work, coming off being laid off by CBS, NFL Today, and looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't realize is that over that six-year period, Shannon had increasingly become the star of the show. But Skip wouldn't realize it or respect him for it. So when Shannon left after all those on-air fights with Skip that were brutal, I mean, mm-hmm. that was real. That was not, you know, mm-hmm. playing around. These guys were going at it. As you said, the bottom fell out. And now, you know, Shannon is on this heater, you know, with Stephen A. Smith and Club Shay Shay, and he's one of the hottest guys in sports media right now, and Skip has fallen apart. You know, attracting 50,000 viewers. The second thing here that I want to point out, I don't know if you guys watch both shows, but I do because that's my job. And I watch Skip's Undisputed and Stephen A's First Take. Is Skip never evolved? Skip's doing the same exact show with the same exact format he did 12 years ago. If you watch First Take, it's much more of an ensemble now mm-hmm. than, you know, it's strictly a debate show. You got, you know, Chris Mad Dog Russo doing his thing, and you got all these young talents swirling around, and it's funny and it's light. There's nothing funny about Undisputed. It's just, you know, this kind of straight ahead, you know, Skip focus, and it gets old.
Mm-hmm.
We're joined by Mike McCarthy, senior reporter at Front Office Sports. Now, along those same lines, Stephen A. Smith, you guys are reporting, could be in line for a $100 million contract with ESPN. What's the latest on that and his negotiations there with ESPN?
Contract talks have started. It was a report that they asked Stephen A. to re-sign for $18 million, and his rep said no. I think the deal is going to come in between $20 and $25 million a year, which would make him ESPN's highest-paid talent. Now, that's an amazing fact when you consider that 12 years ago, Stephen A. was out. He was on the balls of his butt.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing radio. He wasn't even on TV.
Hey.
He was slowing down just radio.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's all good.
I'm trying to say what happened specifically with him.
Yeah.
I said he wasn't even on an ESPN TV show.
Yeah.
He wasn't with ESPN at all. And now that he's doing this, you know, the number one guy at ESPN, it's just amazing comeback. The other thing he's doing, too, is he's doing it without having his hands on the NFL. Usually you have to be involved in the NFL to make the most at your network, right? Because it's the most mm-hmm. important sport. Which is why I'm hearing that in these contract talks, Stephen A. is asking to get more involved into NFL coverage. His idol growing up was Howard Cosell, and he always wanted to cover the NFL the way Cosell covered it.
How's the McAfee show doing for ESPN? Seems to be, you know, still very, very relevant in sort of social media circles and that sort of thing. Are they? I know that he kind of picks fights with the brass there, which I can relate to and understand. How's that actually playing out for them?
Yeah, he is the bad boy, right? You know, every week he has to tweak his bosses. And, you know, how can we ever forget him calling, you know, Norby Williamson a rat?
Right.
Who sabotaged his show. I think the show is doing solid ratings. I think they're very happy with its demos, which is that they're attracting, you know, younger viewers who like McAfee. You know, it's all about getting younger if you're a sports network these days, because the sports audience is graying out. You know, you got to attract, you know, the people like, you know, my son who's 22 and, you know, who has short attention span. You know, they just want highlights. Mm-hmm. So I think they're very happy with that. But again, you know, McAfee's a handful. You know, how do you manage this guy? You know, he takes shots at his own bosses. He takes shots at his own network. He's never finished a contract anywhere he's been. He always, like, you know, picks up and moves on. So, you know, it's hard, I think, to have full-time confidence to say that Pat McAfee is going to be there 2 or 3 years from now. I just don't know.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, can you talk about how the online sports betting services, you know, the FanDuels and the DraftKings, how they're doing? And then also, you know, obviously in America, everyone bets. You know, I do on FanDuel. But in Canada, they also do. It's a huge sports betting country. But match fixing is an issue. And kind of talk about, you know, the problems that they're facing, these countries are facing, and these services are facing, especially since the 2026 World Cup is coming to North America in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, first of all, the FanDuel and DraftKings are doing very well, you know, as more states legalize sports betting and more people accept sports betting. I also think, you know, they've mercifully cut back on the advertising. Remember a couple of years ago, like, you couldn't put on ESPN or a football game without seeing, you know, a commercial from one of these companies?
Yeah.
They were, like, beat over the head, so they've cut it on back. But, yeah, I mean, you make it a great point about Canada.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
You know what I mean? What Jontay Porter did, you know, is not technically illegal in Canada. There are no laws explicitly banning match fixing in Canada's federal code. Instead, they have a very vaguely worded archaic thing that was written before sports betting. So as a result of this loophole, you're starting to see a lot of suspicious betting activity involving Canadian teams. You've seen the Hells Angels and organized crime move in there with betting rings. I mean, the whole thing seems ripe for the next big sports scandal to explode north of the border.
Mike, thanks for the time.
Good
we
stuff.
Appreciate it. It's Mike McCarthy, senior reporter at Front Office Sports. Thanks again.
Thank you, Mike.
My pleasure. Thanks,
yep,
guys.
Of course. listeners, you can call in right now at 800-636-1067. You can get lined up on a game show Wednesday. Brought to you by Wendy's. We've got some great prizes to give away. We got a Wendy's $50 gift card. We have a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nats Park. And we have a pair of tickets to Limp Bizkit at Jiffy Lube Live. 800-636-1067. We'll give you a shot at winning those when we come back.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.